Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Help us to worship you. Lord, we need you. When we sing praises, it benefits us, Father, but I pray that it glorifies you. Help us to set everything aside. The crock pot will be okay. The world will keep turning without our worrying about it. Everything will be all right. Help us to give this time to you fully. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And let's start off reading some scripture this morning. Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Amen.
Yeah.
away like the snow. God is ours forever, and we are His. Amen. I love the picture that we get from Revelation chapter 21. It says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God will be with men. He will be their God, and they will be His people. And He will wipe away every tear from every eye." Amen. His mercies are new evermore. His grace is continual and rich and free. Let's sing about how He bought that for us, how deep the Father's love for us. I want us to read some scripture again together. We're going to be in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Then we'll skip to chapter 5. Let's look at this together. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins." In Romans 5:8, "But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Y'all, here's why that's good news. Because we can sing how deep the Father's love for us, and it not be a hypothetical love. Y'all, so many kids around this world, and maybe it was your own story, so many kids around this world can't say how deep their father's love was for them. Earthly daddies are largely crappy. I was going to put a better word on it, but I think that's adequate. But our Heavenly Father is not. Y'all, I'm going to quote my dear friend, Brother LG. I ain't going to pick at him this time. But I've never heard LG preach where he did not feel compelled to say, God has a plan for you. He's not some hypothetical, tyrannical God who sits up on a throne and casts out lightning bolts. He is the God who came and put flesh on and dwelled among us. He's the God who made a way for us. And he didn't just save us for some hypothetical future. He saved us for some stuff going on right now. Amen. And every time LG says God has a plan for you, he quotes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works prepared before in him, that we may walk in them. And y'all, we got one more song to sing before the word is preached. And I'm here to tell you, we need to build our lives around the love of God. Build our lives around the gospel of God, because he is worthy of every word that we could say. He's worthy of every song that we could ever sing. And not because of anything for us, because of everything for him. And praise God, we have a good, great, and glorious God.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We pray for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Holy.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open.
Are y'all ready? Whoa! I'm ready. I'm holding my breath. Anyways, I praise God for that. One of the lines in the song that we just sang, not the one we just sang, but one of them. I can't remember which one, but I want to bring your attention to it because it goes right with what the message is today. But it says, there's no power against God. There's no wisdom against God. There's no bragging. You know, there's no place to stand. Jesus is all that. And there's no power against Him, no wisdom or plan against Him. And so just kind of have that lyric maybe in your brain. And let me tell you this story. Have you ever felt really dumb? Have you ever, when you make a mistake? Yeah, LG said he felt really dumb, but that was, you know, Casey, you felt dumb once in your life before? Imagine this scenario. I have a tendency to run off at the mouth a little bit. And God's done a great deal in helping me, but I'm not cured, I promise. And but I remember, just let me give you this scenario. It'd be me feeling dumb, but I was given a ticket. I parked in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I had justified it because I was just going to be there for a minute. And the man that gives out tickets, he goes around and he's giving out tickets. And I told him, "Hold on, man, I'm moving my car." He says, "Too late, you're there. You're already there." And I thought that was petty. And I thought about, you know what? Who am I not to let this man know how petty he is? Not only that, but how I thought about his mama and about all his people and about how dumb, stupid, rotten, you are. And just belittled that man as best as I could. You think he ripped up my ticket after he heard all the soundness of my wisdom? No. But I didn't care. He was just some kind of petty ticket giver and stuff like that. But now imagine a few years later, you done got a ticket, a speeding ticket, a real ticket, and you got to go to court. And guess who's sitting behind the bench? Now imagine looking at him and him looking at you, and you're hoping he don't remember you. And he's like leaning over going, "I remember you." Now this is the guy who's going to determine how much you got to pay, or how much what you're going to lose, and what you got. All those things. Imagine how stupid you would feel in that moment. Imagine how polite you would speak in that moment. "Yes, Your Honor." "No, Your Honor." "Looking mighty fine, if I may so, you know, myself. Are you working out? Lost weight? What? You know, you're looking great. Hope your mama and them are well. You know, forget what I said about them last time I saw you, you know, but I hope they do prospering and all." Wouldn't you feel just dumb? Like, open mouth, insert foot? What do you think? How tragic a feeling is it going to be for those who judged and reject Christ, as if it's just up to Him to reject Him out of hand, and yet one day they're going to face Him? What's it going to be like for those who have said, "He's not real. Y'all believe in a fairy tale and a myth, and He's not there, and all y'all are dumb." And then one day they're going to break into eternity, and guess who they're going to see? They're going to feel dumber than me. They're going to feel, I don't know if that was even proper, more dumb than I. I don't know, I do. But it's going to be bad. There's going to be they're going to be enveloped by a cloud of shame mixed with terror. You know what the Bible says? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They're going to have to look eyeball to eyeball with the one they rejected and put out of hand. The passage of Scripture we're reading is when Jesus is being sentenced. He was arrested. He was tried and questioned. Now the sentence is about to be handed down. We're going to look at it historically. We're going to glean some things from this. But y'all, this is not a history lesson. This is an evangelistic sermon. And here's the point. Don't you be guilty of rejecting Jesus Christ, the judge of all mankind. Don't you be in the place where you said, "Well, He's all right. Jesus is just all right with me." All the older folks are smiling. They're like, "I know that song." Don't you be guilty of putting out of hand the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were smiling and I just called you older and you didn't feel older, you're older if you know that song. I'm just telling you. But hear the Word of God and listen. And we're going to talk about the basis they used for judgment. But we're not looking at this just to talk about them. You know, one of the things the church has to grow up about, the Word of God is living and powerful. It's never just talking about them. It's never just talking to them. It has a word for us today, now, for everybody. Here it is. John chapter 18. John 18 verses 39 through chapter 19 verse 16. Here we go. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you on the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? They all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and he scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again. And he said to him, Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, You take and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Then the Jews answered, and they said, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the praetorium, and he said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking with me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify and power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, those who delivered me to you, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out. He sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And Pilate said, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they led Jesus away. They led him away. They took him and they led him away. Let's pray. Father God, help us, Lord. We're not just looking at the mistakes of the past. We want to properly evaluate where we stand with you. Help us, Lord, to see clearly ourselves, our country, our spirituality, the religion, our preferences, our customs, our laws. Help us, Lord, to see clearly where we think we're powerful and where we think we're strong. And help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us, Lord, not to be those who would reject the Lord our Christ for any reason. And Lord, just I pray for those who have not yet believed. I pray for those who have not yet declared that you are Lord to the glory of God. I pray they would do that today. To make you known, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, to be saved and to glorify you. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, when Jesus is rejected in the gospel, I believe it's just like it is today. People just aren't going up to him and saying, Well, I reject you. They have some reasons. They have some basis for the rejection. We're going to look at three of them here. Right there in verse 39, the opening verse, it says, But you have a custom. But you have a custom at the Passover that we release someone to you. You know, the first time they had an opportunity to release Jesus from this malpractice of justice was during this custom. In verse 38 of that chapter, Pilate had already said, I find no fault in him. You know, just real quick, let's just bring this into our time. We see it here, but it's still in our time. The justice system is not blind. The justice system has an account to which, if you put enough money in it, you can get the justice you want rather than the justice you deserve. This world is not the place for justice. If this world was the place of justice, the governor and the judge who is reigning over Jerusalem would have stopped the whole process when he said, I find no fault in him. Why would you go on prosecuting an innocent man if you find no fault in him? See, we live under this idea that in this world, in our country, we can find truth, justice, and the American way. Well, it ain't there. Hadn't been there. Hadn't been there for the people we call Indians, Native Americans. Haven't been there for who we call now African Americans. Hadn't been there for the poor. Hadn't been there for a lot of folks for a long time. This ain't the place for it. But let me tell you, the world ain't the place for truth and justice anyways. Look to God for truth and justice. They said this guy's got no fault, and yet they kept going with a capital punishment trial. What was he looking for? He was trying to find a reason to get rid of this cat. First place they had an opportunity was in their custom, in their tradition, in their religion. Just the things they did habitually. You have a custom at Passover. We all have customs. You know, churches have customs and traditions and preferences out the wazoo. We got them all over the place. How we dress, how far we grow our facial hair. We know that the bigger your beard, the holier you are. We know that. Right, Fletcher? Amen, brother. But you know, some crazy churches think you ought to shave if you're a man. That's their preference. That's their tradition. We heard today about a senior who was not able to walk the aisle in some school. I don't know what it was. I think it might have even been a college road. They said, you got to cut your hair and shave your face. I said, what is this, the 1962 or something? What in the world? Long-haired hippie people need not apply. Give me a break. Some people shouldn't have beards. Women and children should never have beards. No, but here's the point. Who cares if you have a beard, if you don't? It's a custom, it's a preference, it's a tradition. How many churches got all ugly about what kind of music you have? And who cares? It's a custom, it's a preference, it's a tradition. Are you worshiping God or not? You can worship God with that telephone ring. You're like, Lord, you're calling me now. You're calling me now. You're calling me. It don't matter if your heart's ready to worship. It doesn't matter what the band plays. You're going to worship God. Yo, we shut God out. These folks rejected God on the basis of a custom. That was the first basis. The next, I'll tell you, God has a way about Him. It's not all laws and figures and writing. God has a way, doesn't He? You know, I can imagine them saying, we got a custom, we could let you go. They literally saying, we'll look at this a little closer, but they say, not this man. They put their dirty, nasty finger, point at Jesus and say, not this man. Woo! Man, they judged him not worthy based on custom. They judged him not worthy based on the law. Down here, and I'm not looking at the verses because I done took my glasses off, but it's in there. And if you want a handout, if you want to see what I was talking about later on, it's on my Facebook under the comments with the music for this message today. But I'm not wearing my glasses. I'm too excited to wear my glasses. I'd be fogging them up because I'm blinking so fast. But they say this, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. I guess they never thought maybe he's the Son of God. Maybe he's the Messiah who came. They never really thought about that. But here they are bragging on a law. Now these were Jewish people bragging on a law. Where did the Jewish people get their law from? Woo! They didn't even take into effect that they're saying, we're rejecting this man, we're sentencing this man to death based on our law, and not even thinking of the possibility, here is the lawgiver. Here's the one who gave the law. Here's the one who spoke the world into existence. Here's the one who said, whose finger put on the stone, thou shalt not and thou shalt, and all those things. And all of a sudden they're judging him? Oh, I don't want to be them. Oh, I don't want to be a religious bigot who takes the law of God to make God small. Oh, I don't want to be a preacher who uses the Word of God and truncates it down to make God small. You get into this Word and you realize God is big. You get into the law and realize God is big. You get into grace and you realize He's so, so big. I don't want to be one of those folks who truncates God and tries to put God into a box based on the law, His Word. God spoke it. He's never going to turn back from it. He's always going to stand behind it, stand for it, and be with it. But here they are, judging the lawgiver by the law. They try to do that all the time. They said, you're a sinner because you broke the Sabbath, because you healed people on the Sabbath. You know what Jesus said to them? You know what He called them? Hypocrites. You hypocrite. He said, if you had an animal, a donkey, caught in a well, you wouldn't just let it scream and cry and kick and die in the well. You would go out, you'd call all your friends, and y'all would bust your tail getting that donkey out of that well so it could live, even if it was the Sabbath day. And here's a human being, created in the image of God, crippled up for 12 years, and you're not going to let her be healed? Come on. Using the law against God. They said, they tried to accuse Him of all kinds of things. They said, we know you're a lawbreaker because you said you have the power to forgive sins. And I just spit all over Trez. I think I can still make it. They said, you say you have the power to forgive sins, but only God has the power to forgive sins. And they tried to make Him out to be a lawbreaker. They never entered their mind. God told them there was a lawgiver coming. God told them Messiah was coming. God had told them through the prophets He was coming. They never believed it. They just said, no, based on our law, we reject you. Based on our law, you deserve to die. They sentenced Him. Our law. Here, you know what's ironic in this whole thing? Is Pilate is an idol-worshipping pagan. He's a Roman citizen. He picked out one of those gods of the pantheon and he worshipped them. Who knows which one? You know, out of the Roman, you know, catalog of gods that he worshipped and he sacrificed to. Yet through this whole thing, he's trying to be the one who upholds justice. And the people who had the prophecy, the people who had the Scripture, the people who had been taught and trained their whole life and had Passover after Passover after Passover, reminding them that there was going to be a Lamb whose blood was going to be shed for their forgiveness, never even thought that Jesus could be the one. They just judged Him by the law, pushed Him out of hand. Isn't that crazy? Church, we ought to beware. We don't want to be the people shutting out what God wants to do because of our understanding of the law. Man, let's let Jesus be who Jesus is. Amen? Now Pilate, he doesn't get a pass. Pilate also had a basis for judging Jesus. And this to me is not what I'd ever want to say to God. Imagine being face to face to God and trying to say that you had more power than He did. So Pilate's sitting there with Jesus. He's asking Him questions. Jesus is not answering. Pilate gets a little bit perturbed. And he says, do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to release you? Can you imagine arguing who's more powerful between you and God? God, do you not know who I am? I'm Big John. I pastor Christ Community Church in Grenada, Mississippi. I got some other churches. I got folks with me. I'm connected with people in North Central Mississippi. Do you not know who I am? Ask Jim. When Shoney's was open, if you took $3 in my name, you could get you a cup of coffee. That's the kind of power I wield around here. Do you know who I am? Can you imagine saying that to God? How laughable it is. Pilate saying to Jesus, do you know I have power Listen, I have power. He just said, I have power. Let me tell you what it says in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know where Jesus is in that? Not only does Jesus say that he's the light, which is a pretty amazing thing if you ever saw that big old ball of fire in the sky that lights up this whole planet, but it's the Word that created that light. See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that was made through that Word. So in Genesis 1:3, when it says, and God said, boom, that is the powerful Creator God who brought light and shape and form and life into this world, standing across from a mortal man who happens to be the governor of Jerusalem, listening to that man talk about the power that he has. Oh, really? Wow, I didn't know. We're talking about the Red Sea parting God, the mountain making God, the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. And one of his created beings is talking about the power he has. What do you think that's going to flip when Jesus is on the pavement, the Gabbatha, the judgment seat, and Pilate stands before him? You reckon there's going to be a power talk? Do you reckon Pilate's going to go, I've got the power? He's going to realize real quick, he ain't nothing. What about us? Y'all, whatever basis you have in your mind for not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for not yielding your life to Him as Lord and Savior, my prayer for this message is that you'll put all those things aside. The Bible actually says, it's in the book of Proverbs, and I can't find it in my brain right now, but it says, there is no wisdom against God. So whatever bright idea you have about trying to circumnavigate God, somehow I'm going to go around God, I'm going to go under, I'm going to go over, I'm going to go through, you're not. Your best made plans, your best scheme, your best wisdom ain't going to work against God. Your greatest power, your most privileged position, your most precious customs, your understanding of the law that God gave in His Word, ain't none of it going to defend you against God when it's time to sit before Him. There's about one thing that can help you in that time, and that is yielding your life to God now, asking Jesus to be your Lord, Savior, and Advocate, so that when you come up to meet Him, He'll recognize you, receive you as His own, and continue to shepherd you throughout eternal life. That's the only way. There's no basis, no wisdom, no power, no strength against God. In other words, there's nothing that works against Him. So all those things are just, they're just wrong. They just don't work. Well, I think we're going to move on to this next point and look at the rejection of Jesus Christ. When I think about His sentence, you know, it ends on the cross. Okay? That's where His life ends. That's where all this is moving to. But the sentencing process, really what we see in this paragraph is a rejection. He's been sentenced to be rejected by those who He created. Now this ought to make sense to us in the Gospel of John. You know, and for y'all who are joining us new today, we're in this passage now. We've been preaching through the Gospel of John since July of last year. So we're making our way through the Gospel of John. Way back in chapter 1, it says Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not. They didn't receive Him. They rejected Him. See, that's what's happening here. What was Jesus' real sentence? To be rejected by those He came to save. The ultimate symbol of that rejection is the cross. Crucified, hanging alone, no one with Him, suffering, trying to breathe. That's where it culminated. But it was a rejection. Three times in this paragraph, Jesus is rejected. And I just want to lay them out here before us. I want to make sure that we don't ever do this. Jesus first was rejected in favor of Barabbas. In favor of Barabbas. They literally say, they point at Jesus and say, not this man, Don't release this man. Give us Barabbas. Barabbas, according to John, was a robber. But if you look in the other scripture, the other passages, we know that he was a murderer and that he had started a rebellion. This guy was a killer, a stealer, and a riot starter. And yet, they said this, we'd rather have him than Jesus. You want to talk about the misplaced compassion, the misplaced loyalty of the human race. I can't help but think about the policies and the laws in our country that would protect the guilty and slaughter the innocent. We live in a world not far from this where integrity is rejected. And integrity, I'm not talking about my personal, even moral integrity, but the soundness and the wholeness of a thing or a person. They rejected Jesus, not this man, but this criminal. In essence, they're saying Jesus is worse than a criminal. They're saying he's either a liar or a lunatic claiming what he has claimed. And that makes him worse than a murderer, a robber, and a riot starter. Whew, it's not good. It's not good, this miscarriage of justice. It's not good to favor the guilty and condemn the innocent. Have you read the Old Testament? That comes up in the wisdom literature all the time. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. It's an abomination to acquit the guilty and to condemn the righteous. But that's exactly what they did. And it's exactly what you and I do when we reject Christ in favor of having a wrongly aimed compassion, be it on ourselves or on the world or on all these other places. Let me tell you, don't find and don't use any excuse to not have a loyal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it don't matter what you might think is a right, whether it's a right to your body. God made your body. If it's a right to your intellectual thoughts, God gave you an intellect. God gave you the ability to think and make and do. No one has rights like God has rights. If you're going to be a kind person, a better human being, be so to God first and foremost. And to one another. A lot of people think you can be kind to people and neglect God. Not so. Same, you can't be kind to God and neglect people. God's the one that interwove those together. Love God first. Love people as yourself. Love one another as He loves you. Those are God's rules. Jesus was rejected for Barabbas. His integrity was rejected. Not only was His integrity rejected, but His humanity. His humanity was rejected. The fact that He was God come in the flesh. First, they're rejecting this idea of who He is. But can I tell you something? It's so strange. I think it's in verse 5 where Pilate brings Jesus out. Jesus has been scourged. It's just one word, but what does scourging mean? Have you ever seen the Passion of the Christ movie? Doesn't it seem like an understatement used to describe that process with one word called scourged? To me, it'd almost be better for us. We'd understand it better if you said scoured. You know, I remember one of the chores that I had that I probably didn't do enough. My mom's here. She can confirm. But I was, you know, to clean the bathroom. And we had Comet cleanser. And we had a steel wool scrubber device thing. And we'd put the Comet in there and you'd scrub. Put it in the toilet and you'd scrub. And you'd scour it. You'd scour. That's what she used to tell me. Scour the tub. Scour the toilet. And when I think about what happened to Jesus, you know, we don't. Huh? What happened? I did whatever I had to do. I didn't want to do it often. I used some kind of harsh something. Anyways, the point being, we'll talk about this later, Ma. The process of scouring something is kind of what more I think about what Jesus went through, because the word scourge doesn't mean anything to us, but to scour, to take an abrasive cleanser and a harsh brush of some kind of material and to work it, to repeatedly do it until it's cleansed off. That's what they beat Jesus. That word scourge means they beat him. They beat him with a whip. They ripped the skin off his back, just snapping him 39 times. Bam! Every time. I couldn't work a whip, but you wouldn't want me to whip you 39 times. But these weren't lame brain preacher dudes. These were trained soldiers who knew what the world they were doing, and they shredded him and pummeled him. It says they hit him with their hands. Oh, man, that's not even like a boxing, but you wouldn't let me do that to you either. They put the crown of thorns on him, which would have pierced through his scalp, maybe through his eyelid, maybe even to his eye. We don't know what all they did. When they put that purple robe on him and they mocked him, that would have coagulated all the blood. And when they tore that thing off, it would have been like a whole new wound again. That, it's in that shape. They bring Jesus out in front of the crowd and they say, "Behold the man." Pilate says, "Behold the man. Bloody. Trembling." You know what happens when you lose so much blood and you're in so much pain? You tremble. Probably heart racing, lungs pumping, just in shock. "Behold the man." You would have thought for pity's sake they would have said, "Okay, that's enough." You know, that's what Pilate was aiming for. "See, I've beaten him. Isn't that enough?" And they said, "No, that's not enough. That's not enough." They rejected his humanity. They rejected having pity on him. And y'all know what? It reminded me of friends of mine who have been going through a hard time. They've lost their son. One was going through chemo. And it reminded me that while they're suffering, everybody around them has felt like they can't be close to him. Myself included. And I think it's just the human response to folks who are suffering. It's almost like you're left alone in it. And it don't matter if it's a physical pain or emotional pain. Somebody going through a death, or somebody going through a divorce, or somebody going through depression. We kind of step away like, "I don't want to catch that." You almost get alone and isolated in that mess. It's part of the trauma of it. But I'm going to tell you, if you've ever felt alone and rejected, that's exactly what the point was here for Jesus. Not even for pity's sake would they say, "Stop. It's enough." Why were they so threatened? What was their purpose in it? We know God's purpose in it. We knew it wasn't going to stop until it got to death because of God's purpose. But they rejected the humanity. Here's a man suffering alone. And they said, "Crucify him. Do worse to him." How cruel we are. I mean, if we got things that we love, we got our pet things, like pets. If I put a video out of somebody just walking around the yard kicking puppies, ping, ta-ping, and you could hear them yelp, or maybe just stepping on one, not killing it, but enough to break a leg, so it cried, what would people do? They would go insane. For a puppy dog. Puppies are cute. Here's a human being. Bleeding and ripped. Shaking alone. Dehydrated due to loss of blood. "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" we yell. Man, there's a hostility against Christ in this world, in this country, and you all know it. Don't you be a part of it. Don't you put this out of hand. Don't reject the humanity of Christ. He came to step in our shoes. He walked a mile in our shoes. Don't you reject him. He's worth all the puppies in the world. I know that sounds really strange. And we think puppies are innocent. They're not. You know what they'll do to your carpet. But Jesus, throughout this whole paragraph, has said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. And yet, we find it hard to shed a tear for such an injustice and such a person. For our enemies, we don't ever cry out for justice or mercy either. I'm in that sometimes too. Kill them, get them, beat them. Y'all, we ought to put a slowdown on our race to judgment, our race to hatred and violence. But here is the Son of God, the Son of Man, and they said, crucify him. They rejected him in his most vulnerable point. What about you? Why is he here? Why did they beat him? Was no fault of his own. But let's get real. It was your fault. It was my fault. The slap that came should have come to my face. Should have been me. Should have been me. When they tore out his beard, like it says in Isaiah chapter 50, it should have been mine. Should have been these hands that bore the nails. But I couldn't have done it for y'all. I had all my own to pay for. You couldn't have done it for me. You had all your own to pay for. But God in His wisdom and His grace sent the only perfect one to do it for us all. Don't reject Him. Don't reject Him. Finally, they reject His royalty. They reject His divinity. They reject His lordship over all. Pilate brings them out again. After he brings them in to question them and they have to talk about power, Pilate brings them back out and he says, not this time, he don't say, behold the man. He says, behold your king. And what do they say? We have no king but Caesar. Are these the Jews? Are these the people of God? Are they in the land of God? Do they worship in the temple of God? Are these the people with the word of God who are saying, I have no king. We have no king except for that idolatrous egomaniac called Caesar over on another continent. Is that really the people of God, how they stand? Come on. No. You know, that's not the first time they rejected God as their king. Read the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter, what's around chapter 12. The people say, we want a king, we want a king. And Samuel says, God's your king. Just be content with God as your king. They said, no, we want a king like everybody else. It didn't sit good with Samuel. So God came and spoke to Samuel. He said, Samuel, give them what they're requesting, but warn them about how bad a king will be. And then he said this, and Samuel, don't get your emotions all hurt. Don't get all up in your feelings. They didn't reject you as king, Samuel. They rejected me. They rejected God as king. Well, they've done it again. Y'all, if you want to know if salvation and grace are for real and forever, you just need to look at how patient He is with this nation and this group of people. Because He still has a plan for them. Though they rejected Him as king twice, at least. Y'all, He is the only king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And I got news for everybody. Even if you say, I will not receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there will come a time from out of your face you will declare Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're going to do it to the glory of God. Your knee is going to bow, your tongue is going to confess. But if you will do that now, if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and King today, you will be saved. If you wait till it's too late, you are going to be as embarrassed and more as Pilate was, as the chief priest was, as I was, standing before a judge who I had demeaned and who now holds my future in his hand, except for you're going to be looking at the Son of God who's righteous all the way through and has eternal life in his hands. Y'all, do not go out of this life without giving your life to Jesus Christ. You might say, how important is it? Or how effective is it? It's so important that God's going to make everybody say it. And it's so effective that He put in His Word this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made on the salvation. And y'all, it's for everybody. There is no distinction. For God is rich towards all. No one who calls upon His name will be ashamed. And that paragraph ends with this. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon His name. Don't reject Him. Don't find out that you had rejected the judge and that now you're going to have to be face to face with Him. You know, the Bible in the book of Hebrews, it says, it's appointed on demand for everybody. It's appointed for all of us one day to die and then the judgment. When you die, you're going to be judged. It's this Jesus Christ who these people in the Bible judged, who people in our day judge because they say, I don't believe it's that important to give my life to Christ. Really? You don't believe it's that important to give your life to Christ. So what you're saying is, you really don't even believe Him. You think He's a liar or a lunatic. You're rejecting His integrity. And people say, wait, I ain't saying all that. I'm just saying, I don't know if I believe, you know, He really came. So you're rejecting His humanity. You don't believe that the Son of God, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And they go, wait. They keep crawfishing. And no, but I just think I need to live my own life. I need to do what I need to do. So wait, you're rejecting the fact that He is King and Lord, and that includes you. Well, I got news, brother. One of these days it's going to include everybody. The last trumpet will sound, and there will be a proclamation from the throne where it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. There's going to come a time when you're going to see the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with this written on Him, King of kings and Lord of lords. So what is it that you don't believe about Him? What is it that you're rejecting about Him? And can I encourage you, put that on the front burner. Because there's something we know in this world. We know that you can leave it like that. Y'all think you got to, like getting on a ramp at a highway, like you're going to have a long time to merge into that afterlife traffic. You ain't. You don't know what you got. It could be like that. Our friend Marty, who was not the oldest member at our church, but she was a wonderful member at Christ Community Church. She took the class. She came on. Hilarious. I loved her. I loved her character. And she fell down in the bathroom, hit her head and had a brain bleed and was not fully conscious and have never recovered. She essentially, that was it of her experience in this world. Everyone for whom it's not possible to slip in your bathtub and leave this world like that. Everyone here, it's not possible for y'all to get in a car wreck and be out of this world like that. For everyone who is for sure guaranteed not to be a victim of violence of another human being and be out of this world like that. For everyone who doesn't have a cancer that'll be diagnosed. And then in 35 days, you'll be gone into heaven like our brother Brent Hood. For everybody who can guarantee that it won't happen to you like that, you go ahead, keep rejecting Jesus, put Him on the back burner, because you got it made, you're perfect, you're square, you're okay. But for the rest of us mortals who don't know when we're going to step on that side of eternity, you better get it right with Jesus. You don't want to be one of these who judged Jesus and then find out that Jesus is the judge. John 5:22 says this, the Father, God the Father, judges no one, but has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. Guess who you're going to face? You ain't going to be able to worm your way out of it. You're not going to be able to say, you don't know what it was like for me, Jesus. I was rejected. Oh, really? You don't know what it was like for me, Jesus. I was abused. Really? You don't know how tough it is down there, Jesus. Really? You're going to be talking to someone who knows and knows better than you. You're not going to flim-flam them. It says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, that God ordained Him to be the judge of the living and the dead. Y'all, you're going to meet Jesus one day. Saved people meet Him before they die. Condemned people meet Him after. Make sure you give your life to Christ now, while you can. If you need to do that today, the altar's open. We invite you to come and pray. If you're on Facebook land, We invite you right where you are. Pray and ask God. Say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You put this in your own words. It's not about a formula. You just tell Him you know you're a sinner. He's the Savior. You want Him to be the Lord of your life and forgive your sins and to be everything. Be your God. Bow your knee to God. Don't meet Him. Don't meet Him having rejected Him in this life. Bow your knee. Confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do it now. That's what this life is for. It is literally, no exaggeration, the greatest decision you're going to make in your life. And yet a lot of people judge Jesus as not being serious or worthy of making such a decision. Don't be one of them. Come to Him now. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And Lord, I pray that as the Word has gone out, that it would be taken serious. Father, help all of us. Help me, all of us, to take this Word serious. There's only one reason why Jesus went through this rejection, went through this sentencing, the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion. It was for us. For us sinners who couldn't make a way. For whom there was no other way. You made a way. And there's going to be those caught up in how smart they think they are who aren't going to receive You because they think, well, I got time. Well, I don't need to do this. Well, maybe Jesus isn't all who He said He was. Father God, I pray You'd forgive them. I pray that You wouldn't judge, that You'd give them that time. The time where You said, God is patient, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, be patient with them. Win them. Help them. Lord, we love You, and we give You all the praise we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now is your time. If you want to come forward, if you want to make a decision where you are, you just need to pray. You do it. It's your time. I'm excited to preach. I think it's on. There we go. Rain, you can think what you want, but it reminds me of the presence of God. You know, we just sang all at once where you are, and all of a sudden just started raining. That was pretty. I just wanted to point that out. We're going to keep you all updated on what's going to happen with the cross. As far as our offering, we're not taking up offerings. Right? That's what Reed just raised his hand like them like that. But there's a plate back there if you want to drop. Yeah, we're not taking it up, but we are accepting. That's a good way of putting it. And but it's as you go out, you know. So be careful when you're going out because this. I don't think there's anything. Are y'all doing anything else? Okay. Keith gave me the look like, So be careful as you're going out. Be careful with the rain. And here it goes again. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for just folks responding to you. And Father, I pray I pray for everybody no one would reject you. It's just not going to be good for them to come face to face with the judge having rejected him previous. So, Father, I pray mercy and grace for everybody. Help us, Lord, as we go. Bless us. But Lord, you're the one. You're the one who we worship. We read your word. We go by what you've said. We love you because you've loved us. Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready!